Tav. It might say Tau or T-A-W in your Bible. So we are looking at verses 169 to 176. Just for the introduction, we'll start off with Tav is the 22nd and last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The ancient symbol for Tav is two cross sticks. It's amazing what it looks like, isn't it? Looks like a cross. The modern Tav resembles the English T sound as in tall. And a few common words beginning with Tav are Tom, which means plain or perfect. First time that it's used is in Genesis 25, verse 27. In the Old King James Version, it says, "And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man," uses the word Tom there, "dwelling in tents." English Standard Version says that he was a quiet man, but it comes from the word Tom. A derivative of that word is actually used earlier, tamim, which is plural, which is used of sacrificial animals. That was a word that was used for Noah, where he was an upright man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was called tamim. Todah is another common word. It's used in modern Hebrew today, which means thanks or thanksgiving. And the first time we encounter that is in Leviticus chapter 7, verse 12. If he offers it for a thanksgiving, for a todah, then he shall offer with the thanksgiving sacrifice unleavened loaves mixed with oil, unleavened wafers smeared with oil, and loaves of fine flour well mixed with oil. And the third common word we find using the tav would be torah. Or in English, sometimes it's pronounced Torah. It means law or statute, which in Psalm 119, we've seen Torah quite a bit. It often, but not always, references the first five books of the Bible. Sometimes it just uses that word for law, but sometimes it is a reference for the first five books of the Bible. First time we encounter Torah is Genesis 26, verse 5, "Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." And so the word law there, obviously that wouldn't be referencing Moses' first five books of the Bible, because it's used in reference to Abraham keeping God's law. Tav, although there are some Jews that would probably suggest, well, see, Torah was in Abraham. But we won't go into that. Tav is feminine in gender, as all the even numbers are. It's feminine in gender, and by its ancient pictograph means mark, sign, signal, or monument. And as the 22nd letter, Tav has the numerical value of 400. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Alpha and Omega in the Greek New Testament, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, as in Revelation 22, verse 13, and all kinds of other passages in the book of Revelation. And in Hebrew, Jesus would be the Aleph and the Tav. And as the Lord Jesus is the truth, according to John chapter 14 and verse 6, and the Hebrew word for truth is the Hebrew word emet, we should take note that the first letter of truth is Aleph, and the last letter of truth is Tav, and the middle letter is the Hebrew letter Mem, which means water. And since we are in Christ, as sinners saved by grace, and Jesus is the truth, then the Lord Jesus, as the Alpha and the Omega, as the Aleph and the Tav, who said, "Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water," according to John chapter 7 and verse 38. And a note that I didn't put in your handout is that truth, being that Jesus is the Aleph and the Tav, is only reconciled, or we can only understand it through the Holy Spirit, who's the living water. Because in John chapter 7 verse 39, it says, when Jesus said, "Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water," he was speaking of the Holy Spirit, who was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So, going into this portions of Scripture here, verse 169 in the English Standard Version, and most of the King James Version and English Standard Version are just about identical. And I'll only mention the Old King James Version if there is enough of a difference. Verse 169 says, "Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word." And the first Hebrew word that begins that verse is a Hebrew word that sounds, well, the Hebrew word is tikrav, and it means let come near or let approach. So tikrav, in the way that it's written, has to have a subject associated with it. The Old King James Version, "Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word." So come near or approach, come before is what the English Standard Version says. Here is an aspect of godly fear. Because we've been saved by God's grace in Christ, our triumphant shout or our triumphant cry trembles to approach the holy God who saved us. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding, or in the English Standard Version, insight. Verse 170 says, "Let my plea come before you, deliver me according to your word." In the Old King James Version, it says supplication. But it begins with the Hebrew word tavo, which means let come or let go, depending upon the context of the sentence. It's the same. Bo is the word for come or go. And in the Old King James Version, it says, "Let my supplication." It says plea in the English Standard Version. It says supplication in the Old King James Version. "Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word." It is as if to say this, quote, "While there are still corruptions in my most noble of requests, I plead for your mercy based upon your promises," end quote. That's for me. That would be kind of my paraphrase of what this is saying, or my explanation of what this verse is saying. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says, "Now to him who is able to do more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us." And God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, as the Old King James Version says. Verse 171 says, "My lips will pour forth praise for you. Teach me your statutes." It says utter in the Old King James Version. "Let my lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes." And the Hebrew word is tabana. Is the word that it begins with in Hebrew, tabana, which means will utter, or more literally, will gush forth. So utter or pour forth are two pretty good words for it. "Because of Christ's faithfulness, and because he has given me understanding according to given you understanding according to verse 169, and deliverance according to verse 170, praise gushes forth from my heart and your heart like rivers of living water." Like we saw in John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. On the last day of the feast, of the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And also in John chapter 14, verse 26, it says of the Holy Spirit, "But the Helper," or Comforter in the Old King James Version, "the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." So, big work there for the Holy Spirit. Verse 172, it says, "My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right." And the Hebrew word that it begins with is ta'an, means will speak, will sing, or will shout. Not only do we break forth in praise because of Christ through the Holy Spirit, through the whole through the Holy Spirit. He teaches us his statutes according to verse 171, and it moves the enlightened soul to speak, to sing, to preach to others with the holiness, goodness, and righteousness of God's commands. I believe, as far as for Ta'an, where it comes forth from that, Ta'an helps me to understand that, and the verses that precede it, that even if I can't sing, it's harmonious before the Lord. Since it comes forth from the truth of God having transformed us, then it bursts forth from a spirit that's not corrupt. Even as my flesh would tend to corrupt it, when it's the Spirit moving, it comes forth harmoniously. And there are people that have a natural harmony because we were made that way initially. The angels were made that way initially. The anointed cherub that covers the Satan himself, it says that the pipings and the timbrels and tabrets or whatever they are that were on him. And so there are people that suggest that he was the first choir leader in the heavens. That's Ezekiel chapter 28. Isaiah 14 is the one you're thinking of, sister. Ezekiel 28, I believe it is, 28, where it speaks of him being perfect in the Garden of Eden and on the mountain of God. So we know that the fall didn't take place before the sixth day, because the garden wasn't even created until the sixth day. So yes, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another." And in Hebrews 10, and it is one where the New Testament equivalent of this is to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart, singing unto the Lord, teaching one another. This is the great purpose of Hebrews 10, verses 24 to 25. You know, we stir up one another with love and good works because of the truth that springs forth from us. It is a harmony. Even when we're not singing, the truth of God is a harmony. Verse 173 says, "Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts." I particularly love this verse here, verse 173. It begins with a compound, tehi yadcha, which means let thine hand, in the Old King James Version, let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. The English Standard Version is, I believe, a better translation than the King James Version, in my humble opinion, because since I have chosen gospel precepts rather than submitting to temptation, I need God's help. I need God's helping hand ready because I may stumble in attempting to do right. This verse tells me I should not be presumptuous just because I'm doing well, that I should have a ready hand because I may stumble. My flesh is still in me. I see that from the scriptures, not only by experience, but the scriptures tell this of my condition. So have a ready hand so that if I stumble, grab hold of me. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, that's part of our prayer and the Lord's prayer for us. Saying, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Verse 174 says, "I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight." Ta'avti means I long, I have longed, or I desire. In the Old King James Version, it says, "I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight." To be satisfied with salvation as it is today, rather than longing for the glory it shall be tomorrow, and the glory that it shall become when the Lord returns, to be satisfied with today's salvation is a false deliverance and the lie of devils. Romans 8 and verse 23 tells us that, "And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption of sons, the redemption of our bodies. And Matthew 5, verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied, or they shall be filled. We should never be satisfied with mere salvation. The salvation to come, the glory of God, being with Christ, and bringing greater pleasure to God because he is making us more and more like his son, should be continually that thing that encourages us. If anyone thinks that, you know, oh, I'm saved and I don't need anything else, or you typically you'll see them off to the wayside by and by, just as Jesus told that parable of the seeds that fell, that choked out by the cares of the world or falling among rocks. Verse 175. It says, let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. The word that it begins with in Hebrew is it's a compound. It's tachi nafshi, and it means let my soul live. Nafshi meaning my soul, and tachi, let live. So let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me, is the Old King James Version. And while my flesh is content to exist today by day with the mere promise of something better to come, my soul desires life with he who is the way, the truth, and the life, and Christ's commandments, which are not burdensome, according to 1 John 5 and verse 3, will help me to truly live. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So this is a very encouraging verse, because even though I may stumble and even though I may fail at keeping God's commandments, I know that my soul, since I'm saved by God's grace, my soul desires to be pleasing to God. Even in this verse, let my soul live, be alive. Let my soul revive is another translation from that tachi nafshi. And then finally, in verse 176, we got all the way through Psalm 119 with this last verse, and we didn't even scratch the surface of Psalm 119. It says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. The first Hebrew word in the original language is te'iti. It means I have gone astray or I wander. See, for a sinner saved by God's grace, to deny our tendency to wander or backslide is the acme of foolishness. Romans chapter 7, verses 18 to 25, and I'm not going to turn there, but that tells us, you know, the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I do, I don't want to do. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So my young people, my challenge for you today, tonight, is, and I'm sorry we didn't go over this last week. I had this prepared. I was really excited because to me, the last eight verses, you'll notice that I gave you much more application in these last eight verses in my commentary than in the first 21 letters of the Hebrew Aleph Beit. That's because this sums up everything, the application. It takes everything that we've seen of Christ in the first 168 verses, and it kind of sums it up so that we can have great application from these last eight verses. So my challenge is, memorize any one of these eight verses in your favorite Bible version, and then think about why you picked that verse. Why did you pick the verse? How did this verse help you to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ? And how did you apply this verse in the week? And be prepared for me to ask you about it next week. I will call you by name. I may call you by name, so be prepared. Some of you, I hope, will volunteer to share that. Pick one of these eight verses, memorize it, and think of these questions. Why did you pick the verse? What did the verse, how did the verse help you to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ? And how did you apply the verse this week in a practical way? Did it help me with my mom? I saw Miss Vicky in the post office, and it made me think of how the work that she does. Whatever it may be, that's the application, because that verse is applied to your life. Do you get that?